The name of this lesson is called The Divine Promise, Part 10. In John chapter 10, the Lord describes himself as the Good Shepherd, and we as his sheep. What a shepherd is to his flock, and what we are to him. In verse 27 through 30, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than all, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the truth of the eternal security of the believer. In other words, once we come into the flock of God by experience, that we can never fall away from grace. Many people think that we can, but we are kept by the power of the Almighty. This means that not one of God's sheep will ever perish. This is what draws many to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some that come to Christ, then they get entangled in sin, and they would be lured back to the snares of the world and of the devil, then after a while fall entirely away from what they did profess of the Lord Jesus Christ. So some are hesitant about receiving Christ and receiving Christ because they did not want to fall into the same trap as these who professed then went away. Some think whatever resolutions they may make, they may be good for nothing when temptation assails them. Like some who look at the devil's hook and can't resist nibbling at it. Some don't want to start the journey and then fall away and disgrace themselves and bring a reproach to God. But when you understand that the Lord will keep his people all the way to the end and bring them into glory, then this makes wanting to come to Christ much more attractive. We can't keep ourselves saved, but if Christ keeps us, we will be saved forever. Christ does not give a temporary salvation, but an eternal life that will never be lost. Salvation is not a matter of us holding on to him, but Christ holding on to us. Now, what good is it to be chosen of the Father before the foundations of the world, that in the end we would die and be lost? If the Father has called us and the Spirit has regenerated us, then we will spend all eternity with him, and none will be lost. This makes sharing the gospel exciting. The angels rejoice over one sinner that repents than over the 99 that need no repentance because they are already saved. Do you really think that all of the angels in heaven would be rejoicing over a repenting sinner if they knew that that person would be lost in the end? Don't think so. The angels even know that what God does is permanent and eternal. We are kept by the keeping power of God. Salvation is a work of grace by which we can never fall away. There are seven truths for the eternal security of the believer. One is in verse 27, then there are four in verse 28, then there is one in verse 29, and then one in verse 30. We need to fully embrace the words of Christ and rejoice as though we have been there 10,000 years. In verse 27, the power of the shepherd's voice. His sheep will hear his voice when the gospel is being presented to the sheep he has called. When Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree or a fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He called him by name, called him Zacchaeus, called him his name, knew his name. He told Matthew, "Matthew, come and follow me." He said, "Lazarus, come forth. The Lord will draw us, and he will bring us to himself." The voice of the shepherd is an effectual call and an irrevocable call. It is an irreversible, unchangeable voice. He will preserve them in a state of grace. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow." Like in Romans chapter 8, those in whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and in whom he predestined, he called. In whom he called, he justified, and those in whom he justified, he also glorified. This call is of the Lord, and he will gather all of them and not let not one go. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." This word "know" means to enter into a personal relationship. He didn't say, "I know about them." This is a more intimate knowing. Does Christ have a relationship with you? Not so much you having a relationship with him, but it is Christ who has come to you. He said, "My sheep follow me." There is no condition here. It is a response of the sheep who have heard his voice. They will always follow him because his voice is just that powerful. His sheep will never go back to the voice of a stranger or a false shepherd. Those teachers who teach that grace is not sufficient and that the Father does not have the power to keep you saved once you have heard his voice. You know, the Puritans during the 17th century used to say that all of God's sheep are branded as belonging to him. That there are two marks that are on the Lord's sheep as to belonging to their master. Back in the days of England during the 17th century, it was important to brand your sheep to distinguish them from other sheep that belonged to other shepherds. The Puritan said back then, "So it is with each of Christ's sheep. They have a double mark, a double brand, one on the ear, one on the foot. The mark on the ear is that one hears the voice of Christ. Then the mark on the foot is that one who follows Christ. Christ's sheep bear that double mark. Who really hears the voice of Christ when they read the gospel of eternal salvation by grace and grace alone? They hear it. They have the ear to hear. No matter if they stray, they will hear the shepherd's voice that will always bring them back to the fold. Then in verse 28, Jesus said, "I give by his grace eternal life to them." Not temporal life, but eternal life. Once received will always be kept. Eternal life speaks of the realm of eternity to come, but it also speaks of a quality of life as well as a duration of life. Long before we ever go to heaven, heaven has come to us. Salvation is not just getting man out of hell into heaven, but it is getting God out of heaven, so to speak, into man. We have received the quality of life that is the life of the age to come. Eternal life is the spiritual life, and it is unlike any we have ever experienced before. Eternal life is a supernatural life. It is a divine life. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly." Eternal life is abundant life. It is the life of God in the soul of a man. How powerful is that? This is what the new birth is. It is not us trying to climb into heaven, but God coming down and entering into our souls. It is also a never-ending life that is given to us. It is a life that will last throughout all of the eternities to come. It is a perpetual life, an endless life, life after the death of the body. This is why we are eternally secure, because it is not a one-year contract that has to be renewed after the end of each year. This eternal life is on the front end, right at the beginning, at the moment of regeneration. We are eternally secured. It is not us putting forth human effort to keep it and finally getting through the door and wiping off the sweat from our brow and saying, at last I made it because I held out. The very moment you are saved, you are given eternal life and eternal security that can never be lost. Verse 28, and I give, this is present tense, the possession of the eternal age become the possession of the believer here and now. God does not give eternal life once we reach heaven, but it is given to us now in the present tense. John 3:15, whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes in him. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my words and believes in him who hath sent me has eternal life. John 6:47, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes has, not will have, but has right now eternal life. John 6:54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For Jesus, eating is believing, drinking is believing. He promises eternal life to those who believe in him. Believe what? Believe that his death, the breaking of his body, and the spilling of his blood pays in full the penalty for our sin, that he makes us perfect in him. That's a perfect sacrifice. Perfect righteousness is freely given to us in exchange for our unrighteousness and filthy rags. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In verse 28, protection from eternal perishing. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. In the Greek, it says the very same thing. Perish means to be eternally lost, eternally punished. But Jesus said not one of his sheep will ever perish in the bowels of perdition below. If even one sheep should perish, this would make Jesus a liar. John 3:16, he said, shall not perish but have eternal life. To never perish means to never, never, not ever perish. His sheep will never perish. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. If he were not a good shepherd, then maybe one of his sheep would perish. But he is the good shepherd that will never lose not one of his sheep. He begins with 100 sheep in eternity past and ends up with 100 sheep in eternity future. Verse 28. Now Jesus said, no one will snatch them out of my hand. He keeps stacking up reasons that you can never lose your salvation. But he knows how we are and how fearful we can become and how much we are capable of having doubt. But he puts layers upon layers on the preservation of his sheep. His hand that has all power and all authority. There is not any demon or false teachers that can make us lose our salvation. No hand is stronger than the omnipotent hand that is upon us. His hand is almighty. No one can snatch them out of his personal hand. He did not delegate this responsibility to an angel, but his own personal hand and the personal hand of the Father. How did we even end up in his hand? Well, we were given to the Lord in eternity past by the Father as his inheritance, the Lord's inheritance. John 6:37, all that the Father has given unto me will come to me. Plus, if we are in the body of Christ, we are one of his fingers. So we could never slip through one of his fingers because we are part of the body of Christ. The Lord is not an Indian giver. He gives and does not take away eternal life. Verse 28 and 29, held by the Father's hand, double-fisted hand, actually a triple seal, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 29, my Father is greater than all. There is no one greater than the Almighty God. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Christ's sheep are held in the hand of Christ and in the hand of the Father. Double protection, jointly held in his hands. We are infinitely secure in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 3, our life is hidden in Christ, in God. It's the Father that keeps us. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a righteous man or the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Wow, that is so powerful. We may fall, but we will not be cast away. We walk and sometimes we trip, but we will never fall away from the Lord and be lost. The Father knows where his sheep are all the time. He knows where they are. The Father will never let go of us. Noah may have tripped and fallen in the ark, but he never fell out of the ark. The ark spoke of salvation. We are never perfect in our walk with Christ. It even says the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. But the Lord will always hold us up. If we could lose our salvation after believing so many years, then God would lose much more than us. I would lose my salvation, but God would lose his reputation. God has sworn by himself that he would not lose not one of us. Verse 30, the partnership of the Godhead. Jesus brings all this together by saying, I and the Father are one. Verse 30 is on the heels of all these other scriptures on eternal security. The Father and the Son jointly guarantee our salvation. I and the Father are one. Not just one person, but this has everything to do with purpose, one in purpose, and aim, one in aim. I and the Father are of one purpose and one goal and one mission, pulling together in the same direction. We are jointly held by his grace. The two are in agreement. The Godhead is of one will and one decree and one purpose. John 6, 39 through 40. This is the will of him who hath sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose not one, but raise it up on the last day. This is the will of the Father, that those who believe will have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Christ has come down from heaven for one aim. The Father chose us in eternity past, and Jesus said, I will raise them up at the last day. The Father and the Son are of one mind and one purpose, and that is to preserve the security and safety of the believer. This is how protected we are in grace. No matter how many false teachers come our way, and no matter how weak we are within ourselves, we are eternally secure in God's will. This is the reason to rejoice. It gives us great reason to rejoice. And also to be very humble, because salvation is of the Lord, not of us. We have nothing to do with it. The disciples said, what must we do to perform the works of God? And he turned to them and said, this is the work of God, that you believe. My salvation is of the Lord, and I will be kept by the Lord. I will be raised and blameless and faultless before God. We are preserved until the end. You know, we do things for the Lord because we love him, not because we will lose our salvation if we fall and even stray for a season. He will always bring his sheep back. He will leave the 99 and go after the one and make sure they make it, because he will keep his promise. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. G-A-I-N, gain. This will cause us to come into his rest. We are the possession of a good shepherd that will never leave us nor forsake us. We were made to hear his voice as his sheep, and his sheep will follow him and are kept by his grace no matter where we go. This makes you want to share the good news to people. This makes you want to pray for the lost and ask God to lead those in whom he has called to you, or lead you to them. The rewards are there after salvation. You can lose rewards, but you can also gain rewards. Winning souls, turning many unto righteousness, serving God out of love, doing the will of the Father, that is going out and sharing the good news of the gospel of eternal life by grace and grace alone.